This is Dave Lewis, and I'm honored to have with me my guest, Mark Palkovic, who is the author of the new book, Wurlitzer of Cincinnati, the name that means music to millions. And he is also a librarian at the College Conservatory of Music. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. Glad to be here.
I discovered, and I'm sure our readers will discover in your book, the extent to which the Wurlitzer family members participated in and contributed to Cincinnati.
Absolutely. It's really a fascinating history with the family. There were actually two generations of the family that were in control of the Wurlitzer Company, and it spanned a period of 116 years. So between the time the company was founded in 1856 by Rudolf Wurlitzer here in Cincinnati and his youngest son, Farnie Wurlitzer, when Farnie died was 1972. So it's really remarkable.
How did you find out that the materials that you needed to study for your book were not in Cincinnati? And how did you feel when you found that out?
Well, I was surprised, I must say. The company, of course, was headquartered here for most of its time, but toward the end, they were headquartered in DeKalb, Illinois, also in Houston for a short time. But when they decided they were actually going to sell the company, they gave their archives to Southern Illinois University. And then Southern Illinois University, in turn, sold, or actually gave, part of that collection to the Smithsonian. So really the source material from the company resides in Washington, D.C. and in DeKalb, Illinois. There's some early information here in Cincinnati about the company, but most of the records are elsewhere.
Yes, I was disappointed when I was researching an aspect of Wurlitzer, a little known part of it. I went down to 4th Street to look for the building because I remembered it being there when I was in my early 20s or so. And it's like, where is it? And turns out it's been demolished. It's underneath where the Enquirer building sits now.
That's right. There are some interesting photographs in the book, too, that show some of the storefronts from their stores over the years.
So how were you able to go into the depth that you did, into the narrative space with some of these figures in the Wurlitzer family?
Well, it was really interesting. I discovered that Farnie Wurlitzer, the youngest Wurlitzer son, the founder, had engaged a writer from the Niagara Falls area, which is where their biggest factory was located in North Tonawanda, New York, to write a history of the family. So he was interviewed pretty extensively, Farnie was, the son, and he had a lot of really interesting anecdotal information about the family, of course, that I could include in the book.
Were there any of the Wurlitzer children that you developed a special affinity for?
They were each interesting in their own way. Of course, I never met any of them, but I did meet a great-grandson of one of the sons of Rudolf Wurlitzer, and that was Bill Grease. And he was very, very helpful in giving me information and a lot of photographs from the family.
And another great chapter in this book is the one about the painter, Henry Farnie, whom I didn't know was connected with the Wurlitzers at all.
It's really an interesting family relationship. There really are two names that figure very big in this narrative, the Wurlitzer family, of course, and then the Farnie family. Rudolf Wurlitzer, the founder of the Wurlitzer Company, married Leonie Farnie. Her brother was Henry Farnie, the painter. Henry Farnie was quite involved in the Wurlitzer family's life throughout his life. The thing that's especially interesting is the oldest child of Rudolf Wurlitzer, Sylvia Wurlitzer, married a man named Weinberg, and they decided to change their surname to Farnie. So it's very confusing when you try to trace the family relationships because Farnie keeps showing up, sometimes as a surname, sometimes as a forename. And of course, the youngest son of Rudolf Wurlitzer, who ran the company for so long, his first name was Farnie. So it's very difficult to keep them straight until you really delve into it deeply.
When we think of Wurlitzer instruments, usually it's a big jukebox like the one that's on the front cover of your book. My personal favorite Wurlitzer instrument was a piano that they made in the late 1940s that had a tinkly, bell-like sound and a really, really nice touch. Do you have any particular insight to the instruments that you studied?
I started studying mostly the Wurlitzer harps. That's how I got into doing research about the family, finding out information about them. And of course, along the way, I discovered all the other things they made. I know they made, of course, the jukeboxes. People are familiar with those. The Mighty Wurlitzer Theater organs, of course, are very well known also. But they did make a wide variety of other things, a lot of automatic musical instruments from the early days, band organs for carousels, skating rinks, that sort of thing. They did a lot of what are called orchestrions, which were used in restaurants and bars to provide entertainment. They also did an automatic harp, which was trying to imitate the sound of a hand-played harp. They also, of course, made traditional harps, pedal harps that were played by hand. They're very highly regarded by harpists today. Of course, they haven't been made for a very long time. They also made refrigerators for a while. They made washing machines for a short time. Of course, accordions. Accordions were Farnie Wurlitzer's favorite instrument that they made. And then they did get into electronic instruments later on. The big instrument they did was the Sideman percussion machine, which was used to accompany organ concerts for popular organ music. And that was done in 1960.
Well, I sure thank you. This is a wonderful book, Wurlitzer of Cincinnati, the name that means music to millions. And I've been talking with Mark Palkovic. Thank you for coming.
Certainly, Dave.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.